This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
Did you see K yesterday, poor K?
Wow, I have a mark on the side of my face.
Wow.
Hideous. Nobody even told me.
You know when you look in the mirror and you're all
so it's reversed, right?
Like, initially, I didn't know what was going on. He's a little, like, lick of the fingers, right. And then he's, like, scrubbing his one cheek, and he was scrubbing the wrong cheek.
But nobody saw this big, big, ugly stripe on the right side of my face. I might just walk out today.
It was, like, straight across his cheek. It was hysterical.
This is DCR.
I'm surprised he wasn't, like, trying to scrub off the ink, and you come running in from the corner. No, Michael, it's here. Devin here.
If I pop out from under the desk, let me get
that. You're on the wrong cheek.
You don't even see me. You just see like a hand pop up, and I'm like wiping his cheek.
On 98.7 ESPN.
All right, the big 6 o'clock hour. DCR with you, 98.7 ESPN. You could be in store for great missteps for me in the 6 o'clock hour because I have a huge dilemma going on right now. I have a big read coming up. I have reads. We're talking, obviously. I have no water. None. And I'm terrified to go upstairs and get water to wake up the dog. So I don't know what to do.
You're a hostage in your own basement.
Because the second I open that door, they're going to stir. They're going to wake everybody up. I can't go up there.
Yeah, I don't know what you do in this situation.
I'm just going to have to do the next hour plus dry mouth. And then I'll probably make mistakes. And you guys will greatly enjoy that.
That's really dicey, Dave.
That's a touch and go proposition.
What else can I do?
Well, I mean, the setup doesn't sound like it's the kind of right kind of setup for what you need to do every morning.
What does that mean?
Well, if you're having a hard time, if you can't go...
It was fine until we got the dogs.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, can we find a different place for the dogs?
Well, where are they going to go?
I don't know. I've never been to your house. Is there some place we could put them that's not, like, directly in the line of how you walk down the basement?
They're off in another room, but the second that door opens and I try to make my way to the fridge and then come back and close the door, there's probably a better than 50% chance that they're going to stir and I'm going to wake them.
It's like, I'm going to send you a mini fridge then. We solve this. I'm going to send you a mini fridge. You keep the waters
right now? Like, I can get it delivered to me and I can use it in the next segment?
No, I can't do that right now.
Okay, then it does me no good.
I don't have a drone situation, but that's what we need to do.
Right?
We got to get you a fridge.
I can remedy that yet?
Knowing that this is now a major issue, I can remedy it from now on. It's this hour that concerns me.
I've been told you can drink urine.
I'll pass on that. Thank you.
That's what Patches O'Houlihan would say.
Who told you that?
Patches O'Houlihan.
Patches.
He did. Yep.
You can drink.
It's sterile.
That happened to Dodd.
I like how it tastes.
He did say that.
Yep. Now, I don't think.
Why don't you take the rest of the day off and drink horse urine?
If you can dodge a wrench, Dave.
Yes, you can dodge a ball. I think if you got stung by a jellyfish, then you can urinate on it for help. But I don't think you can drink urine.
No, I think I absolutely think you can drink urine to stay alive. I think you can drink urine. I don't think I wouldn't just decide that I wanted to drink urine, but I think if you were in dire need, I think you could drink urine.
Oh, my sweet Jesus.
I'm going to Google it right now. Can you drink urine?
Oh, there you go.
I think there was a boxer back in the day that thought that was a good way to help his training.
Oh.
So he wouldn't waste any minerals, waste any vitamins. I don't know why he thought that.
Was it Ocho Cinco that said he used to put his feet in pee? I could have sworn I saw a story like that.
It might have been.
What?
Very strange things.
Yeah, that is.
A healthy person's urine is about 95% water and sterile. So in the short term, it's safe to drink and does replenish lost water.
Like that kind of party. you want to make matters even worse? I don't have to go to the bathroom. That's not even an option I have right now. Uh-oh. It's not.
You can have like a whole faucet situation where you just can squirt it right into your own mouth.
Oh, God. All right, let's go to the call. You always take wherever we are and wherever the line is, you always have to leapfrog it. So I get, all right, can you please move on? Why do you always have to do that?
I don't understand why we have to move on. This is what morning radio is.
Because you've crossed that line.
No, I didn't cross the line. I tiptoed the line. I'm on the line.
You're not on the line. You jumped over.
Straddling it.
Yeah, he's
straddling anything.
He's tapped. Well, now people know. He's Gregory Hines right now.
Yeah, that's like a Stump Rothenberg kind of thing. Like someone now all of a sudden is in a dire situation. They have no water. Like, oh, I remember on DCR, it's 95% sterile. Oh. I can drink this for a short
period.
Here we
go.
Over the line.
Unless
bottoms
I eat asparagus.
Up, everybody. It's shot night here. Let's go. Anthony,
line them up.
Staten Island.
Let's go. Kamikazes for everybody.
Yeah, here we go. On me, round one. Go ahead, Anthony.
Good morning, guys. You guys having a good time? Good morning. Yeah, us Yankee fans are a little depressed right now. But, you know, what I find frustrating is, you know, why is it the Yankee fans seem to, like, obsessively have to defend Gary Sanchez and Stanton, right? And, you know, when it comes to Stanton, I hear the whole lazy thing, and I think that's where it all goes wrong, because he probably does work hard. I don't think you can get to that kind of level. But I think it was about a year ago, right? It was like ninth inning. Yankees losing by one. I think it was like bases loaded or something like that. Hits a ball and doesn't even run to first. And Flaherty's like, oh, my God. Like, you got him hit into a double play. Game over. And he just has no sense of urgency, right? About a week ago, hits a ball into the outfield. Could have got to second. And he just, again, jogs, gets to first, right? And it was a tie game. Well, we were down by one. Luckily, Talkman with his base running bailed him out. And it was like a bang-bang play at home plate. And we tied it. We wanted to lose the game anyway. But you know, he's just terrible. I'm sorry, right? You know, and then with Stanton, all I hear about is hard-hit balls. He hits the ball 109 miles an hour. Hit the ball first. I mean, you know, when he swings, sometimes he looks like he's waving at balls.
He doesn't look like he's waving at balls. He's waving at balls. He takes some of the ugliest swings I've ever seen in my entire life.
Now, I'm sure that that's not most of his swings. I'm sure, right? But sometimes you look at it on TV and you go, geez. Like, I see some 12-year-olds that have better swings than that.
Here's what's interesting about him. You're talking about a guy who hit 59 home runs and won the National League MVP. So maybe our expectations are too high. But, I mean, you see him take some at-bats. Where they're not even competitive at bats.
No. There's times where he just looks completely lost. And thanks for the call, Anthony. By the way, you see, in typical Rays fashion, completely off topic here, by the way, who got hammered last night? For San Diego, Blake Snell got hammered.
Oh, yeah, yeah. When he stayed in two-thirds of an inning?
Yeah.
See, that's one of those teams, though. The Rays are one of those teams that I would be hesitant to make trades with.
That's what I'm saying, right? Because we were like, wait, they got Snell for what? And now all of a sudden you're like, wait, Snell's getting hammered?
It's the opposite with us. You make a trade with the Mets, that guy's most likely going to play great.
Jared Kelenic will probably be in the Hall of Fame at some point.
So what you're saying is the Rays are the Major League Baseball's version of the New England Patriots. Like,
yes.
Don't make a deal with them.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, pretty close. Look what they got for Archer. When they traded Archer, he was terrible in Pittsburgh. They got rid of his money. He was terrible in Pittsburgh, and they got Meadows and Glasnow. And now they have Archer back for zero money.
Exactly.
By the way, Chad Ochocinco... this was a tweet to Adam Schefter. I soaked my ankle in warm urine to heal all my lower extremity injuries. Notice I was never injured my entire career. Please pass along my message. It's a home remedy.
Now, here's the question. Who's urine?
It's a great question. I have no idea. It does not mention. It's warm, though, so it has to be fresh.
You idiot. Or heats it up.
No, you can't heat that. God forbid.
What do you mean you can't
imagine the smell?
What do you mean? You're an expert? What do you mean you can't heat it up? How do you know you can't heat it up?
You cannot heat up urine. I can only imagine.
How are you, like, the foremost authority on the warming of urine?
It's a great question.
You never peed outside, like, on a hot day? It doesn't smell like pee in hot does not smell good.
Clearly, that's not his number one concern.
You don't think that boiling urine on your stove isn't going to smell up the house?
You don't have to boil it. You can microwave it for a couple seconds just to warm it up.
And then it starts splatting. You do it for too long, and it starts splatting around in your microwave? That's what you want.
Listen, this is a man that's soaking his feet in urine. I don't think he's thinking about the odor. The smell, the splattering.
I bet other people are.
That's like what I'm here for.
I don't want to. I'll really cross the line with this next. I'm not going to tell it.
Don't. Please don't. Andrew. Thank you for checking yourself. Andrew in Verona. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning, guys. Dave, I know you're worried about this next hour because, you know, you've got no water, but don't you live in some sort of grandiose estate? How do you not have a bathroom in your basement or wherever you're working from? How do you not have a bathroom near you?
I'm in my basement.
How do you not have a bathroom in your basement?
We don't have a bathroom in the basement. I don't know where you think I have a grandiose estate, but we don't have a bathroom in the basement. I apologize for that.
Poor Andy. You got him in a closet down there. No bathroom.
That's right. No bathroom.
Too bad. What is he? You probably have those bathroom pads?
And who is he to joke? How do you not have a bathroom in your basement? I mean, we don't have a bathroom in the basement.
It'd be a good idea. I mean, it might be a good investment since you have your office down there.
That is a great point.
Just so you have to keep going up and down. Because you guys are down in the basement a lot, right? I mean, that's like your where you do all your sports activities.
Everything. You should see. It's like a gym down here.
So a nice little urinal, like a little trough or something.
A urinal. Yeah, we'll put that right in.
What do you mean? Having a urinal in your house is awesome.
A urinal?
Yeah, there are people that have urinals in their houses.
Who?
I had a buddy who had a
Baker Mayfield, because he lives at the stadium, but who else has a urinal in their house?
No, there are people. There are guys that I know that when they moved into new houses, they had a urinal put in their bathroom. Because they like to, they just like having a urinal.
All right. Yeah. Well,
I'm not joking.
I believe you.
Okay.
We don't have that.
And I'm not a big fan of that though in your own house because it's like with all the. I don't like the splattering.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
And then if you warm it up, then you have an issue as well.
I couldn't imagine. Can you imagine going? What's in the microwave? Is that soup? No, it's pee.
I mean, Steve, why would you have that for dinner?
with
the Russian dressing.
With the Russian dressing,
sweetheart. What's this? I don't know. Heat it up. Let's see.
It looks like. Is this a gazpacho?
Wow.
Is this a miso soup?
Is this pea soup?
Wow.
Oh, that was so easy. Pea soup. That was good. Come on.
Oh, my God. You're too much.
Oh, God. Time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Let's hear what Chris Sims had to say on the Schefter podcast. He was asked about having Zach Wilson over one Trevor Lawrence.
You have Zach Wilson ahead of Trevor Lawrence. What do we yes. say about that?
Well, you know, I think, you know, there's a lot to say about that. The first thing I'll go with that, right? You know, whenever you do this type of stuff, people just go, they make it about the negative aspect of it right away. Oh, well, you don't like Trevor Lawrence. What a jerk you are. How could you not like him? No, that's the first thing. It's not an indictment on Trevor Lawrence. He's worthy of being the number one pick. I've said that for people who would listen to my podcast and my evaluations and all of that. He's a really damn good football player. I'd love for him to be the quarterback of my football team. I just like Zach Wilson more.
How about that? He loves Trevor Lawrence. He thinks he's going to be excellent, but Chris Sims thinks that Wilson will be better than Trevor Lawrence. Could you live in such a world? How good would that be?
Listen, from his lips to God's ears.
Mm.
Now, I mean, he said this a while back, too, on Pro Football Talk. I mean, he broke down the quarterbacks, and he loves Zach Wilson. And I will say this, and I always go back to this. I know there are some people when they hear that, they're like, oh, he's just looking, he wants to be contrarian, and he's looking for...
I don't think so.
No, I'll stick up for him for a second because this was back when the year that
2017.
Yeah, Lamar said like that draft with Lamar Jackson, and he was playing right field. I was playing right center in softball, and I asked him. I said, "Woody, I know you break down tons of tape. It's your goal one day to be a GM. Tell me what you think about these quarterbacks." And he said, "Lamar Jackson's going to end up being the best quarterback in the bunch."
Hmm.
He was that confident. Like, well, you got people like Bill Polian saying he should be a wide receiver. Forget quarterback. You should play wide receiver. He was, no, Lamar Jackson, I'm telling you right now, I broke down the tape. He's going to have a ton of success at the next level. So the guy puts in the work. This isn't just like, this isn't a hot take to have a hot take.
Rico, correct me if I'm wrong. Wasn't he the one that said that Pat Mahomes was going to be the best quarterback in that 2017 draft class?
Yes.
Like, yeah. So, he was damn close. I mean, 2017, he was right. 2018, he said Lamar Jackson, although I would push back with Josh Allen, but Lamar Jackson's already won an MVP going into year four. So, I mean, Chris Sims knows what he's talking about. But that being said, I can't ignore the three-year sample size that I have from Trevor Lawrence and seeing how dominant he was in college football from the moment he set foot on a college football field. I mean, Trevor Lawrence is special. He's got all the physical traits that you would want in a future franchise quarterback. There's nothing that Trevor Lawrence doesn't do at a high level on a football field. Nothing.
To me, is what makes it so intriguing, though. It's like you get guys that you respect and you trust in Chris Sims who think that absolutely, and then you get other guys like Paul Feinbaum who says, I don't like Zach Wilson. I don't think he's going to be that good at the next level. I mean, I think it's what we love about the draft. There is no defined answer. We'll find out at some point, but it's exciting. It really is.
But what I will say, Dave, is that I think Zach Wilson has boom or bust written all over him. Like, I just feel like if he hits, it's going to be really good. Like, the Jets fans 5 years from now might have an elite quarterback, top five type player at the position. Like, I feel like it could be that good. But if he doesn't hit, then you could be in the market for a quarterback 3 more years from now. Like, I feel like it could go – I feel like it's he's got probably, I would say, among the highest ceilings of the quarterbacks in this draft class, but he's got a really low floor, too.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Dump Rothenberg, 6:45. Rick, you have a beautiful question?
I do have a question, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, why do you, I ask you a question every single week. Why do you ask me?
I don't know why it's surprising.
Like you're surprised. I think that urine information was already great information, though.
It is great information. I got to tell you, until I am at the point where I am literally dying of thirst, I'm not even considering the urine as an option.
Why don't you take the rest of the day off and drink horse urine?
Yeah, I'm Dave, I'm with you on that one. I'm willing to take the L if that means having to drink urine. I'm willing to lose. Whatever happens is what happens. I'm not going to drink my own urine.
I got to get lightheaded. I got to start seeing stars. Like I have to sit down, otherwise I could fall. Like that's the level I'd have to get to start drinking anybody's urine, even my own.
Well, I would hope. I mean, I would. Wouldn't you rather drink your own urine than somebody else's?
Yes.
Yeah. I didn't say go drink someone else's urine. I said maybe you could drink your own if you wanted. Now I would rather you do the reads part so you screw up. I think it's better for the show.
Yes. So far I've been spot on though.
Yeah, you've been flawless. But if we were on television, if we were simulcast, I would choose the you should drink your own urine situation. I think that'd be better for TV.
Well, that's not going to happen. I can absolutely promise.
You know what would be good for
our
show, Rico, is if he released a video.
He won't do
it. That'd be good for our show too.
He's not going to do it.
What do you mean he won't do it? I gave you an opportunity, and your guy is taken ill.
You can take ill. He's not sick. Now all of a sudden, James Harden is sick. He's got a tweaked hamstring.
Not well.
So morbid, Dave.
Yeah, guy, it's unbelievable.
Not well. Ill. Guy who never, ever gets hurt, all of a sudden, it comes up lame with the hamstring.
Oh, man.
I gave you an option. I gave you an opportunity. Your guy has failed you.
I love my chances, too. I love them until this hamstring.
Yeah. Yep. Is it over, by the way?
I'm not ready to throw in the towel yet. I just can't do it. For the people, I need to keep fighting. But, yeah, I mean, it's getting
about over.
It's getting late early right now.
thank you, Yogi. Mike Tenenbaum was on KJZ yesterday. I think he said this with us as well. He likes Zach Wilson. But the Jets should be very nervous about his what? His injury history. Here he is.
Zach Wilson's been hurt twice, guys. He missed four games in 2019 with his wrist. He had shoulder surgery. And if I'm the New York Jets and I'm Joe Douglas, I agree with everything they've done. But the one thing that would keep me up at night is he's had two significant injuries. And Key, you brought this up. You know, they've played, you know, on Power 5 schedule. So can he go through the rigors? And we got to get used to saying this, guys. A 17-game regular season. Can Zach Wilson answer the bell week in and week out over 17 games?
Oh, boy. I mean, it's not even something I really gave a lot of thought to, but obviously Mike, as the former GM, does. And, yeah, I think it's something you have to certainly – I mean, they're going to take him. We know that. But it's something you have to keep your eyes open about.
Yeah, I don't know how you wouldn't be concerned. I mean, you're talking about – it's not just his shoulder. Like, this isn't – you know, Trevor Lawrence is going to get his left shoulder fixed. Mm-hmm. This was Zach Wilson's throwing shoulder. So that – I mean, that especially coming off what we saw with Sam, he couldn't stay healthy. And Zach Wilson's not a big guy.
No. He doesn't have a big frame. He does not have a big frame.
No. He does not have the kind of lower half that you would – like, he doesn't have an Andrew Luck kind of lower
no,
lower
not,
ass and thighs.
Big guy.
No, but Rico, he's not.
But he's got a howitzer attached to his right shoulder, though.
It's a rocket launcher.
Cannon.
But you just came off a quarterback who couldn't keep himself healthy.
Yeah, that can't be the case. That cannot. But again, I mean, no one – we don't know, right? Ultimately, you don't know. You can break down the tape. These GMs and coaches will sit down with the player. They'll do Zoom calls. They'll put them on the board and everything else. It's all going to be the situation they come into, how they're coached, the talent around them, what's their makeup, how much do they love football. Like, the intangibles are really important, too, especially when you come into New York.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one thing that we really – that is, honest to God, I'm not even joking. The one thing that gives me hope with Daniel Jones is that his personality is perfect. For New York.
Yeah, he's got the right personality, but he's been hurt, and he's had a lot of moments where he hasn't looked good.
No, you're not wrong, but that's one of the things that I look at and say, okay, if it is going to work, one of the reasons why it will work is because of his demeanor.
Yeah. Like him being able to survive all the early slings and arrows and work through some of the issues that he's had and get to the other side of it. I mean, it's similar to what we saw from Eli Manning. first couple of years, Dave, people weren't sold on Eli Manning being the guy. They just weren't. But, I mean, even though the team was having success, Eli was still a big question mark until you got to the 2007 season. And once he went on that run, okay, he's going to be our, he's our guy. But, I mean, with Zach Wilson, all the physical talent that you're looking for in a quarterback is there. It's just about whether or not the Jets are going to surround him with the right supporting cast, and does the kid have the right mentality when it comes to being able to play quarterback in New York City. Like, I just feel like it's all set up for him to have success in terms of the organization being in alignment with making him their future franchise guy. Now it's just a matter of him being able to go to work and the Jets making sure that they put the right pieces around him.
Let's go to Matt in Queens. Good morning, Matt. You're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning, guys. Nice to speak with you. Listen, it's a moot point anyway because it happened, but I am going to be proved right that the best move for the Jets would have been to keep Donald and then draft whoever they liked, whether it was Wilson or whatever. And, Chris, all of your points are correct. It's not a great situation to have two quarterbacks. You had Donald's issue with his contract. All those things against it are correct, but the point is the Jets are in this position because of their past mistakes. Now, I'll ask you guys a question. You have to roll the dice to win $1 million. Do you want two rolls of the dice or one roll of the dice?
You think that's a good analogy, though? You think that's a great analogy?
Yes, because of past mistakes that the Jets have made with the quarterback and with everything else that they've done, they had potentially two guys that could be good quarterbacks. And he's one of the biggest reasons, whether you, if you keep both quarterbacks or you get rid of Donald like they did and then draft Wilson, you're not getting any of the top players. You're not getting the top receivers, the tight end, the offensive lineman anyway, because you pick his way down.
Yeah, but Matt, you weren't, but Matt, in your situation, you weren't either. You were going to draft Zach Wilson and keep Sam Darnold, you said.
Right.
You'd get less the way you have it.
The first thing you have to do is find a quarterback. The first thing you have to do is find a quarterback.
Well, Matt, I hate to cut you off, but if you take a quarterback with the second overall pick, that is going to be your guy. You're going to move off of Sam Darnold eventually. There's no way that you would draft a quarterback with the second overall pick and then Sam Darnold could find a way to be your long-term quarterback. That wouldn't happen.
Well, Chris, if I'm the GM of the team, all right, and now I draft Zach Wilson, and let's say I do put some pieces around Donald, however I do it, or you find somebody in the draft, or you free agents or whatever, and Donald looks like a great quarterback. Great. I have a great quarterback. And then your argument, Chris, is what happens if you have two really good quarterbacks? Wow. Wouldn't that be a bad position for the Jets to be in, to have two
Matt, I never said that the Jets absolutely had to trade Sam Darnold before the draft or after the draft. What I said was, the Jets, if they don't get the offer that they want, they could go into the season with having these two quarterbacks. I said that. But the Jets got three draft picks, one of which is a second-round pick in 2022. There's no way that Joe Douglas could pass on that type of a haul to deal Sam. No way.
Well,
I just don't, Matt, I don't know how. Matt, I don't know how in your scenario, though. Matt, time out. I don't know how in your scenario, if Sam Darnold emerges, if he wins the job and is great, we would definitively know if Zach Wilson was good or not. I mean, you said, oh, now you have two great quarterbacks. Well, how do I know Zach Wilson is great? He didn't play. I don't know he's great.
You wouldn't exactly know, but then you still have a great quarterback. That's the bottom line. What you're trying to do is you're trying to get the great quarterback.
And you've wasted the second overall pick, Matt. You can't do it. You have to have conviction in what you're doing. You can't, I have a better chance if I have two quarterbacks. I mean, I can almost like hear Bill Parcells.
You got no quarterbacks. 100%, Dave.
Right?
100%. It doesn't make any sense. What Matt was laying out makes no sense.
None.
And then when you see what Carolina gave up to get Sam Darnold, it made sense for Joe Douglas to make the deal in the timing that he did, because he was going to move off of Sam and Zach Wilson was going to be his guy.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
Phones can light up with the questions. 800-919-3776. Rick has a beautiful question ready to go. 800-919-3776. 7-6 if you'd like your question to be asked and answered, hopefully correctly, on air in about 11 minutes. You love this segment, don't you?
Stump Rothenberg?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's
probably... kind of like halfway.
You're lukewarm.
Well, no. I mean, if I'm going to go, I think I love, especially with Santiago doing it, because I think he's great at what he does. I have to go. Did it happen in Florida? I think I have to go first.
Okay.
But close, right? Like, it's well, more like
I wasn't even asking for you to rank them. I think we all love Did It Happen in Florida. D. Hiff is a staple of the show. But I think Stump Rothenberg is. All I said is it's something you love, no?
Well, no, it is something I love. I just don't like to, I don't like to throw around that word just willy nilly. You know what I'm saying? Like,
love?
Like, he's generational. Like, yeah, those words get thrown around too much.
Okay.
They do. Well, I agree with that.
Do you really enjoy Stump Rothenberg?
Yeah, it's one of my favorite things in the whole world. Does that make you feel good?
No, forget
I like,
it.
Here's the thing. I actually, because there are some things like that I'll actively find myself rooting against. I don't know if that makes me a bad guy or not, or just like players that I just don't like that I'll actively root against.
Right.
I do not like when you get Stump Rothenberg questions wrong.
Wrong.
It really bothers, for some reason, I like
so
really.
So you want me to be perfect?
Yes, which is ridiculous, because that's not, I mean, especially with some of these questions that get asked, but maybe it's because I believe in you so much,
mm-hmm.
or because mm-hmm. I see how happy you get when you get the questions
I
right.
I do love. For some reason, you get these questions right, and it just buoys you. It makes you feel good about everything. I don't know what it is.
I think it makes the whole show feel good, though. It makes us feel like it makes Chris and I feel like smarter because we're on the show with you. You know what I mean? Like, you're an extension
of
us.
We've got the best sports trivia guy in the game. Like, there is nobody in media that's better at sports trivia than Dave Rothenberg.
I'll take it.
Yeah, like, I
don't think that's a compliment. I think that's just a fact of the matter.
Well, I'll take it. Whatever it's meant to be, whatever it is,
that's just what it is.
And I'll run with it. All
water
right.
is wet, and Dave Rothenberg is the best at sports trivia.
And I have no water to drink at this very moment.
it's about the only thing that's wet in that house.
So.
Wow!
I'm going to move right there.
That was a good one, Rico. Yeah. That was right under the radar. Didn't see it coming. Out of left field.
You should see this guy. You are. So nobody knows what's happening right now except for me and Chris. And I guess RJ and Raymond as well. We're on Zoom. And this guy is, he's, you know, what's the movie? It's you ever see The Three Amigos? And both of you guys are doing this now. You ever see The Three Amigos when they're in the desert? And I forget, one of them like takes the bottle of water and like the canteen, he's drinking, and he throws it. He's like, I'm done with this. I don't need any more. And the other guy is desperate for water. Then he takes the chapstick and starts putting that on. Yes. And he throws the canteen down, and the water just leaks out. He's like, that's what you guys are doing to me right now. I got Rick with his big bottle of water just drinking, and then Chris takes his can of whatever, soda or whatever it is, and he's drinking away. Oh, God, look at these guys.
It's like, you know what it's like? It's like when Lloyd and Harry... When Harry's like, oh, my hands are freezing. He's yeah. Like, can you borrow my extra pair of gloves? Yeah. Oh, by the way, I solved your problem.
Oh, what?
I had an epiphany in the kitchen because Cash has got us this because it's easier for the kids to do water. Yeah. So it's the water bubbler.
Mm. The water bubbler?
Yeah. It gives you. I get hot water for my tea. I get cold water. You put it right down in the basement. They deliver the big, I think it's 5 gallon jug
but
of water.
Here's the thing. We have that.
No, it's upstairs. Down the basement. Yeah, but now you have to pivot, Dave. You got two dogs that you don't want to wake up. Pivot. Now just have it down there. You don't have to worry about it ever.
Pivot.
Now the kids, too, when they're working out, playing sports, they don't have to go all the way upstairs to get a bottle of water.
Mm-hmm.
It's perfect.
Yeah,
it's a win-win for everybody, Dave.
Yeah, and until then, you guys will taunt me with your beverages on this.
Well, just for today's show, because you're going to adjust tomorrow, right? Oh, you're going to take water down there with you when you get ready to do the show.
I'm going to have so much water. I'm going to be like, guys, I got to go to the bathroom. I can't do the next segment. Well, Rick, you open up the show tomorrow anyway, so that'll
great point. That's a great point.
But here's the other issue, though, Dave.
Yeah.
Because now it's pick your poison. You can't go up for water, but now we found out you have no bathroom downstairs. Now you can't go. You can't go up to pee either.
Bottles.
Now this is a different thing.
Yeah, that is. Yeah.
All right.
That Uncle Rico Cross Bronx special.
That's right. I'll bring big jugs.
And that's how I know, I'm telling you right now. You let that bottle of urine sit in your car in the heat for a while.
That's right. And then all of a sudden you got lunch. There you go. All right. So
it's a little toilet wine.
That's right. Why are you swerving? I don't know. My urine must have had an extra kick today. the alcoholic content officer. It wasn't me, I swear. So, Chris, we discussed this before the show. I'm fine with this. Doesn't sound like you are. Jalen Waddle, 11 for the Giants, is what Mel has in his latest mock draft. Tell us why you don't like it.
Yeah, I just think it's overkill, Dave. I mean, you addressed the skill positions this offseason in a big way. You signed Kenny Golladay to this huge contract. I think he slots in as your X receiver. Then you have Darius Slayton as your Z, and you have Sterling Shepard as your slot. I think it's a good three wide receiver trio, and then you've got John Ross and Evan Engram as kind of like those wild cards. We'll see what those guys end up contributing. But, Dave, they're also getting Saquon Barkley back. So it's not like Daniel Jones won't have guys that he can get the ball to that can do some special things when they get it in their hands. So I just feel like from the Giants' needs perspective, there are some other things that they can address. Like the offensive line is still a work in progress. They got to get better in straight drop back situations. They were atrocious in that last year. I think they were bottom five in the NFL in terms of grading in straight drop back situations. Their defense could use another pressure player in their front seven. I just feel like there are other directions the Giants could go with that 11th overall pick that would give them more return on investment in terms of shaping their overall roster this season.
I think when you look at the Jets and the Giants, they both need, I mean, they're looking for players in premium positions. Like you, I mean, Chris, you're right. I just don't know if at 11, in that day, this is your concern too, if because there's a need to get that outside pass rush, if you're right. Reaching at 11 for that player.
But that's why if one of the quarterbacks is there at 11 and New England wants it, doesn't it make sense to move back to 15 and still take that guy that you could probably get there?
Yeah, but according to this mock, the Patriots are moving up to 10 with Dallas.
Well, that'd be terrible.
I would have a hard time. I'll say this. And we've heard your favorite GM say it ad nauseum. Hog mollies. It's all about the play on the lines, offensive and defensive line. I'm telling you right now, if Rashawn Slater or even the
preach, Rico.
Yeah, but I'm even like the kid Elijah Vera Tucker out of USC.
Yep.
Right, at guard, they're talking about him being like a Quentin Nelson kind of guard. Yep. I'd have a hard time. I would have a hard time turning my head and not picking one of those guys.
Enrico, also keeping in mind that you got rid of your best offensive lineman from a year ago in Kevin Zeitler. He was a cap casualty. You cut him.
Yep.
So, I mean, adding to your offensive line a young player that's on that rookie contract, so his controllable prices, like it just seems like it makes sense. They still got to improve that group.
I agree with you. And you look what Patrick Graham did with very little last year. Yeah. I mean, he did a great job. The secondary is way, way better.
Yep.
Right? So, and
they added Adoree Jackson, who should be your number two corner.
Like, absolutely.
You've improved your Logan secondary. Ryan,
right? Yeah. Leonard Williams is now locked in. I don't know. For me, I would go offense. But I mentioned it to Mike Tenenbaum yesterday, and he like vehemently disagreed with me.
Well, because he had a couple players defensively that he really likes.
Yeah, he likes the kid out of Georgia, Ojalari.
He likes the kid out of Georgia, who actually is, I mean, he was talking about taking him at 11. I don't think Mel has him going till later on in the first round.
Which
that kid is a freak show, though. That kid is a physical freak. Production not there, but he is a physical freak, guys. I mean, that kid out of Georgia?
Yeah.
Kid out of Georgia, yeah.
Yeah.
But if there's a guy that you can get like 8 picks later, the Giants will take him to it.
I agree, Dave. Like, here's the thing. If one of those blue chip offensive linemen is not on the board at 11, I don't see a problem with trading back. I don't think there's anything wrong with that, being able to acquire picks and get value for the guy that you really want that addresses, you know, a glaring need. But to me, I just feel like receiver would be overkill, man, especially with what they did this offseason. Dave, I didn't even mention the fact that they signed Kyle Rudolph. Like, that's another weapon for Daniel Jones to work with.
So John Ross.
I don't think you have to go at the receiver position. I think you got enough there for Daniel Jones to work with.
I hope so. I really do. But I need answers. I mean, this year will define Daniel Jones. Either he's going to be your quarterback of the future or he's not. And I think you'll have a pretty good answer by the end of 2021.
Well, I think, as well as that defense played, I think it shocked everyone how well that defense played last year. I mean, you address what I think outside of obviously pass rush. I mean, the glaring hole was, you know, who's going to play next to James Bradbury? Because he was awesome.
Yep.
Yeah.
So you address that with Adoree Jackson. If that defense plays exactly the same how that defense played last season, and your offense, because you've addressed the offensive line, added Kenny Golladay, you know, Saquon Barkley is back, is just average. Like, is level to where your defense was at, as opposed to second worst in the NFL.
The Giants are a playoff team.
Yeah, you're going to win. I mean, yeah, you're going to win plenty of games that way.
Yeah.
So I agree with, like, I don't know how many times it frustrates me sometimes, though, because, like, we get in that Zach Wilson conversation, and I think Dave and I are on the same page as far as, you know, a guy like Alex Smith to come in. And it's like all these teams, like, oh, you know, we're looking for the next Pat Mahomes, and we want to handle our quarterback just like Pat Mahomes. And yet they say it and never do it.
Right.
They draft him and throw him out there, team stinks, and the quarterback ends up looking like he stinks, or like, oh, you know what, I wish my offensive line was as good as Indy's offensive line. Well, you got the perfect chance right now. You're sitting there at 11. There could be two offensive linemen sitting there. You're going to turn, oh, you know what, we're good. Our offensive line will figure it out.
And you know what, I don't know that you are good. I don't know that you're not, but I don't know that you are.
You have a pretty good idea?
I got a pretty good idea. It ain't great.
It's not great. That's for certain. I mean, left tackle is a question. Right tackle is a question. What's Solder going to do? The guards are issues. I mean, there's issues all over this offensive line right now.
Yeah, but Dave, here's the thing. If you draft Rashawn, say if Rashawn Slater is there and you draft him with the 11th overall pick, you're talking about your offensive line with all of those young guys up front having a chance to be intact for the next 4 or 5 seasons, which is gold in the NFL.
That's what I said weeks ago. I would go with the offensive line, but I'm torn. There's a lot of areas they could go that I would probably be very, very, very high on. All right, Chris, this is what we do. We say goodbye to you. We move on. Have a great day on KJZ. Anything you're taking from our show to their show today?
No, I don't think we're pirating anything today. I don't think we're going to do Stomp Keyshawn. We'll unveil that next week, so I think you guys are safe.
All right, Chris, have a good show.
All right, have a good one, guys.
All right, that, of course, is a very well-hydrated Chris Canty here on the 98.7 ESPN. I am not. I am parched. I think 7 o'clock I can finally venture upstairs and get a drink, right? You agree with that?
No, I would just say I would text.
I'm getting a little dizzy.
I would text Sherry.
I'm very thirsty.
Sherry obviously was close to a nervous breakdown yesterday with these dogs. I would text her first.
So sorry for her.
I would text her first. What time does she usually get up? 7-ish?
No, I mean, she was up at 3:30 this morning with the dogs. I don't know if she even went back to sleep.
But I'm saying, on a normal morning, if the dogs don't wake her up.
Yeah, 6 usually.
Okay, so text her, and if she's up, then have her just say, I just want to make sure, because I know yesterday was tough, this morning was tough, and I appreciate you getting up. I don't want to wake you up, so I just wanted to make sure before I come up and get the water that you're up.
It's good thinking. It's good thinking. But at some point, I'm going to have to go anyway. I'm very thirsty.
I need you for the show. So if that means waking up the dogs, it would stink for you, but I think for our listeners, for me, and most importantly, because you've seen me by myself, it's bad.
But tomorrow morning, we're going to get the wakey, wakey, eggs and bakey. All right, let's go. It's question time. It is Stump Rothenberg.
He's confident.
I have so much knowledge.
He's arrogant.
I'm a big star, you know.
He's unstable.
I'm crazy.
He's Dave Rothenberg.
You don't think I'm smart?
And now it's time to see if you can stump Rothenberg.
All right, this is not just a garden variety segment anymore. No, no, no. There's a sponsor attached. Stump Rothenberg, brought to you by BetMGM Sports. Let's bring him on. He's our leadoff hitter, Ricky Henderson of Stump Rothenberg, and that is Andy in Merrick. Good morning, Andy.
Good morning, DCR. What's up, Drive Time?
Time out. Andy, before you get to your beautiful question, are you watching what's going on in KJZ right now, David?
Oh, no.
They didn't like Cuddle Marry Trash because it was too derogatory.
What are they doing?
Better, worse, or the same?
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm dead serious. I'm not even joking. I'm looking at it right now.
Let's sue them. I absolutely think we should sue them. This is criminal. What the hell is better,
property.
Worse, or the same?
Because you're not actually trashing something. All right, continue.
How good is my wife, by the way? She just
brought you water.
I'm getting out of bed right now. I'll text you when I'm downstairs. I'll take them out. You come get some drinks.
I don't know. I mean, I'd be hard pressed to find anybody that has it better than you.
Nobody has it better than me. All right, Andy, let's go. We don't need the music. Go ahead, Andy.
All right, David. 2021 marks the 50-year anniversary of the Jets drafting John Riggins, the last Hall of Famer they drafted. In fact, in total, they've only drafted 4 Hall of Famers. Namath and Riggins are the obvious ones. Can you name the other 2? Neither has played for the Jets.
Neither have played for the Jets. Well, I don't know that I'm going to know this. Rick, you have any guys that the Jets have taken?
Hall of Famers.
Hall of Famers, I understand. Hall of Famers. So obviously they took Namath. We know that. He's a Hall of Famer. Hall of Famers. Blair Thomas, not a Hall of Famer, right?
They didn't play for the Jets. That should be a hint here.
But you said they were drafted by the Jets.
Correct. So you got to go back to the AFL days.
Really? All right. So I got to go forever. I don't know. Is George Sauer? No, but he played for the Jets. Now, Maynard is not the answer. I know he was drafted by the Giants. I don't know that I'm going to know the answer. Rick, you have any idea of these?
No.
That doesn't help me even a little bit. That doesn't help. Santiago apparently knows the answer, and he won't even help me.
I can't give you all the hints.
No, I listen, I understand. AFL guys. I don't know. I'll say Ditka, but I know they didn't draft Ditka. How about Herb Adderley? Did they draft Adderley? No, now I'm intrigued. I don't know. I'm not going to waste any more time. I don't know the other.
John Mackey, your favorite tight end.
Oh, from Long Island. John Mackey. All right.
Amazingly, only four Hall of Famers in almost 60 years of Jets drafting. Unreal. Stay healthy, boys.
That doesn't surprise me at all. The way that they've drafted?
That was a tough question, huh?
I didn't love the question.
You didn't love that? All right. Well, why don't you give us a question that you, in fact, love? Go ahead.
All right. In honor of, this is why this is the perfect question.
Okay.
Brandon Nimmo's red hot start.
Yeah.
Brandon Nimmo currently on base percentage, because that's all that guy does is get on base, 581 this season. 581. David, can you tell me who has, for a season, the single season highest on base percentage?
Of all time in Major League Baseball?
In Major League Baseball all time.
I think it has to be Bonds, I would think.
You are correct, my friend. Yeah, Barry Bonds.
See, it seemed too easy.
That is correct.
And in fact, it was too easy. All right, so now we're 1-1. We're back. Deep breath. Let's go to Sal and Dutchess. Good morning, Sal.
Good morning, guys. Quick question. The last guy said the guy drafted by the Jets and are in the Hall of Fame?
Yeah.
Wasn't Keyshawn one of them or no?
Keyshawn is not in the Hall of Fame.
No.
Oh, he's on the Hall of Fame? Okay, no. I thought he... Okay, my bad.
That's okay.
All right, here's my question I was going to ask you on Saturday, but it was rejected.
Oh, great. All right,
we'll ask on Wednesday.
Let
me see if I can put the pieces together here, Sal. You call Saturday.
Okay.
What question do you have? I have this. And they say, Sal, I'm sorry, it's just not a great question. We're not going to take that. You decide, let me pocket it.
I gave him another one. I gave you the Mike Ditka question, which tight end.
Okay, fine, but you pocket the question that's rejected on Saturday and you bring it back on Wednesday. Does that seem like a great idea?
But he thinks it's not sexy. I don't know what that means. I mean, I'm not going to go in my boxers and ask the question, but I just want to see
what are you wearing
think.
Right now, Sal?
Stop it.
No, I just want to see because I'm in the same situation that you got, you know, your wife. Once I take the dogs out at 4 o'clock in the morning, I can't fall asleep again. I'm down here all by myself.
That's very unfortunate.
I guess go ahead and ask your question. I got another one. If you don't like this one, then I'll tell you another one.
No, just change your voice. Make it sexy. You make the question sexy. Just change your voice a little bit.
I ain't making nothing. Okay, here you go. In the NFL, which player has sacked Aaron Rodgers the most? If that's not good, I'll give you another one. I'll give you a movie
I'll let,
one.
I'll let
what if you give us the year? Would the year help?
Well, I'll give you the year. I know you'll get it.
Career, right?
Oh, man. No, man. You guys remember that one, too. I don't even know. Well, there's like 15 and a half sacks this guy got. So I give you the year. I know you'll get it.
I don't want the year. Yeah, that's right. You were big on the year last.
Yeah. I try to give you clues. I want you to get it. I'm not one of them. I'm not like Ty, man. I'm not a bad guy.
Wow. So you think? Wow. You think Ty's a bad guy?
This guy had to be a Viking, I would imagine.
He was on a couple of different teams, and yes, he was in this. I'm going to say he was in the same division twice.
Same division twice. So he's a Viking and Bear. I don't know.
Did he have a mullet?
That I couldn't tell you.
Is it, all right, yeah, we'll go with, was it Jared Allen?
That is correct.
You got
it,
buddy.
There we go. That's a terrible question, by the way.
See, if he told me the year, I definitely would.
If I give you the year, I know you'll get it.
Yes, the year is the key there. All right, let's go to Matt in Hicksville. Good morning, Matt. You're next up on Stump Rock.
Good morning. According to the International Olympic Committee, what country has won the most Summer Olympic gold medals per capita?
Now, you want me to go with, like, the U.S. or China. I would think it's either Finland, Norway, but those are winter. How about Liechtenstein?
Final.
Oh. Rick, what do you think?
Oh, I don't know. That makes me a little nervous.
Should we lock it? Well, let's lock it. Liechtenstein.
No, it's Finland.
Ah!
Why did you decide to get cute with Liechtenstein?
Because I know that they won a medal, and I know that a lot of people don't live there.
I'd like to live in Liechtenstein. I'd be good there.
Yeah, you'd be great. Aw, man. You're impressed that I even threw out the right place, though, aren't you?
I'm impressed that you knew, but you overthought it.
I overthought
it. You tried to get cute with the answer. We need one more.
All right, let's go to Andy in Queens. Go ahead, Andy.
All right, Dave, I have a science question for you.
Okay.
What element in the periodic table has 17 electrons?
Hmm. 17 electrons. Is it a solid, a liquid, a gas, or an unknown? That would be... Are you a good periodic guy, Rick?
No, but I know if I don't know if it's going to be a solid, a liquid, or gas, I'm in trouble.
Like that kind of party. I'm wondering, is it? It could be fluorine. It could be chlorine.
I was leaning towards chlorine. I would. I'm not.
I think
listen,
it's
I'm
one
not
of
you.
Halogens. Could be. Is it bromine?
Speaking of chlorine,
I think
too.
One of those.
They had so much chlorine in my pool that my hair is like just dead.
Is it
still?
It really bothers my eyes, the chlorine. I'm going to go with chlorine.
You are correct.
Yes.
That is correct.
Oh, that's the way to end it, right? That was nice.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.